Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Good morning.
All right. That sounded like your radio voice.
I did. I put on my radio
voice. I was like, wait, am I on your radio show?
Ed Stetzer Live. Happy to talk to you.
Exactly. All right. So we are, at the time of this release, it's August 6th. School is starting up in certain states. It's another month for other states and provinces. And I mean, we have a whole spectrum of churches who have already begun meeting with masks, without masks, optional masks, mandatory masks, other churches that have said we're not meeting until January and onward. And we'll link it to we'll link your interview with Andy Stanley in the show notes.
Well, that went crazy
on your other podcast, because it was such a good interview. Yeah, I love the fact that you guys did that. I mean, Andy went into a little bit on his site and in the CNN interview, but I'm really, it was really neat to see the way that you pushed in and you really explored that. So really, the question today is in and around masks. And the first part of, I'll just read it for you. It's from Mike. What are your thoughts on the application of 2 Corinthians 3:18 and the mandated use of masks for worships? So just for fun, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Okay, so that's kind of the you know, the one side of it. But really the question is, what are your thoughts on the mandated use of masks for worship?
Well, first of all, I think that's pretty funny and well done. I think I'll probably steal that tweet and tweet it up. And of course, for those who were wondering, because I'm sure somebody out there would take that seriously, the question seriously, I take the verse very seriously. When it talks about with being unveiled faces, it's actually, that is actually referring to a Old Testament idea that that the face would be veiled from the glory of the Lord. And now we because of our access to the Holy of Holies through Christ's death on the cross for our sin and in our place, we are now have those unveiled faces. Now, the reality is people say, well, I should have my unveiled faces at church. Well, I know that's not what he's saying, but there's going to be somebody who says it. Let's make sure we get it out there. It says contemplate is what the NIV uses when it talks about this. Different translations sort of do it differently or kind of translate it differently. So, but yeah. The CSB translates it as unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. Here's the deal. You're really not looking at the glory of the Lord in the sense of a physical, because that would be like, that would be impossible. The point is that now through access to Christ, we are now looking at the glory of God in a very spiritual sense, who's changing us. Anyway, I think
you're a good man, Ed. That's the fact that you went that far to explain that you're a really good man.
Probably need to, but yeah, I gotta tell you, Daniel, one of the more discouraging things to me about evangelicalism as of late is just how crazy people believe some things. And there's going to be people who think that. Matter of fact, I'm going to Google that and just see how many people have said that about masks. I'll bet you, I'm going to Twitter search. I bet you, you know, there's, I think a whole lot of the crazier Twitter accounts were deleted recently. So we'll, I don't know. We'll see. Let's see what it says. Anyone out there talking about that? Yep. Actually there are people. It says, put on a mask and read aloud 2 Corinthians 3:18. So that's funny.
Like they're citing 2 Corinthians 3:18 as an argument.
Exactly. Oh gosh. Take your mask off. Anyway. All right. Now you've got me. Yeah. You got me wanting to talk about conspiracy theories. We will not go there, but let's talk about this. And this is really, I think, a very important and often misunderstood issue. And so the question is you know, what authority does the government have and what authority does church have? We could actually talk about what's called sphere sovereignty, if we wanted to get into what's called Kuiperian approaches, but named after a guy named Abraham Kuiper. But here's the thing. In our system of jurisprudence, in the most of the worlds where people would be listening, if you're in a totalitarian state and you're listening, we do have people who listen in totalitarian states, none of this would apply to you. But some of this question is a religious liberty question, first and foremost, is what can the government, because he talked about the mask mandate, if I recall the word, and a mandate would be a government decree. So here's the thing. So I would be out there practicing civil disobedience and violating the mandates of the government if they were applying these things only to churches. So so for me, it's really, it boils down to just a few things. Are there concerts? Are there movie theaters? And are they functioning differently? And if movie theaters are open and required to wear masks, and again, but particularly there's a higher risk activity called singing. So if concerts are open, you know, because people sing along in concerts and are required to wear masks, then I actually don't see that as a religious liberty issue. And I would also say too, now it's probably significant. So here in Illinois, our governor has been more strict on some of these issues. And let me just say, as somebody right now that as of this time, we're not experiencing widespread community spread. We're not experiencing the spikes in some of our other states in the U.S. I talked to the governor a couple of weeks ago, just representing a group of pastors who were concerned that he wasn't engaging the faith community enough. We were also very thankful, though, for the measures that have prevented much of the community spread. So particularly California, interestingly enough, California and Illinois both were at the same time very strict. California took it to the Supreme Court and won. So let's be clear. The Supreme Court thinks that California can make you wear masks. The Supreme Court thinks that California can limit meeting in your buildings. Right now, you know, California, because of the time of this recording, their current explosion of cases has moved churches. You know, I did this, you know, you talked about Andy Stanley interview, and I think everyone appreciated the Andy Stanley interview. However, that's not the only interview we did on the subject. Brian Broderson of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.
That was a really good interview, too.
And we kind of walked through their thinking. They're open. They have eight venues of less than 100 on their campus. They're working with their county health department. Well, they, on the time I interviewed them, the governor just said no more indoor meetings, and they'll, you know, that'll probably be a shorter term. So here's what I say. So legally, and I don't think that's the most important issue, right? But legally, particularly in the U.S., similar pattern in Canada, any place where there's a pattern of a British common law, English common law, the way you, typically you can't tell churches to do something if you're not telling people who do similar things to do the same thing. So legally, no one's crossed a lot of lines except a couple of mayors early on, and they got slapped down by judges very, very quickly. So there's the legal issue. So the question then is, you know, at what point must we obey God rather than men? Well, first, I don't think we're at that point. Now, could we get to that point? Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, if this is, you know, just so everyone's aware, a virus doesn't always have a vaccine. So we're all hoping for, and, you know, Dr. Fauci has talked about a vaccine by the end of the year, and we're all excited about that. Cautiously optimistic is the language he's used. All right. But, you know, HIV/AIDS, the virus that causes this is actually, there's no vaccine for. And so what happens is a disease can actually become can just stay in the context. So why am I all of a sudden trying to sound like a doctor? Because I'm not a real doctor. But if a disease comes and stays, and the people think 3 years from now that the answer is you can't go to church and wear masks, I would say at some point this disease is just permanently present, right? It's permanently present. It's kind of endemic. And that means that we're going to have to all move on, and we're going to have to do some what might be higher risk activities, because everything we do is a high risk activity. But we're not there yet. I don't know that we'd be there. You know, I think you're going to see, well, you know, weeks, months, it could be, I don't think it'll be years, but, you know, Bill Gates at the time of recording this just said yesterday that, you know, schools will probably have to close for a year, you know, and keep in mind, a lot of people in the Spanish flu, I mean, people just lost a year. Some places, whole school districts just redid the second grade.
It's crazy. I'm glad you brought up what you just brought up now, because there's never, like, a vaccine has never been created for coronavirus ever before.
Right.
So it's never been done.
There are coronavirus. Yeah, for this, right.
Exactly. So for the strain, so even with some of the research coming out about mutations and there's so much that we don't know yet. So I'm glad you brought up this distinction, right? The government side of things and the religious freedom side of things. But let's say a church leader saying, hey, our governor or our premier or our mayor or whatnot, I mean, they have not put a mandatory masks thing on anywhere yet. I, as a pastor shepherding this congregation, see how, yeah, we want to worship, we want to sing, and how singing is a spreader. So I want to mandate masks in my church. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me say, too, I don't, you know more about me about past coronavirus vaccines. That's new, that's helpful to know, because there's never been a coronavirus that has actually had that. I didn't know that.
Because they've tried, but never has the whole world
had
a pandemic because of a coronavirus.
Because I know that something like SARS and MERS and stuff like that, there was some discussion about what that would look like, but it's helpful to know. So we don't know. Okay, so let's talk then about this specific situation. Let me say, I actually think that in higher spread areas, I think part of the challenge is, you know, you're in Edmonton, you know, I'm in Chicago. I don't know what someone in Red Deer needs to do. You know, I don't know if is there really an issue? I don't know. You know, the president of the U.S. has recently said that everyone should wear a mask if you can't social distance. Okay, so that's a pretty significant shift. And at the time of this recording, he said it. Who knows what he'll be saying by the time this comes out. But the here for me, where we are encouraging people to wear masks. And I think that what some people found is there's, because it's become politicized, and I think, unfortunately, you know, again, people are far too often discipled by their social media feed, and they, you know, they hear things like they're starving their bodies of oxygen, all kinds of things that are just not evidenced by the science. But you'll get messages about this, Daniel, just us talking about these things. But
I know.
But wearing masks is good. Doctors do it all the time. And doctors are, they know stuff about health. They just know stuff, more stuff than we know about health. So what I would say is, I would recommend it, but when you get sick, maybe you're not an area where it needs to. Here's one thing that, most of the churches, the larger churches in particular that I know that are doing this, is they are actually having a mask recommended and a mask required difference. So in other words, let's say you have two services. The first one would be masks required. And here, why would you require this? Because here's the thing. There are people in your church who's got someone living in their house that you don't know about who has asthma, they just went through chemo, you don't know about it, or they got diabetes and you don't know about it. And so what happens is, I think that we have to say, and most churches that have well articulated this have said, that we believe there are people in our church who are more vulnerable. You've heard people talk about the vulnerable people. And sometimes people say, well, those vulnerable people should just stay home for the next 2 years. And actually that's one way to try to reduce deaths. What I would say is, if you believe church is important to go to and vulnerable people should be able to go as well, then you should wear a mask. And because they won't tell you, they just won't come. So I think that's the case you make for wearing a mask. Now, you may decide where you are, that there's just a sense that we have to accommodate. This is, we were talking to Tim Hawks down at Hill Country Bible Church. You know, it's Texas, man. It's, you know, liberty, people, it's quite a culture. And what I would say is that, you know, we're at their church, Hill Country Bible Church. You know, he talked about where they needed to have a place where people who just were going to refuse to wear a mask come. But at the same time, he wanted to defend those who really would not tell people, but they have that child at home with struggling with leukemia, who's vulnerable. So I think that it's helpful. I would want to say require masks. And if you have two services, require masks at one and suggest masks, encourage masks at the other, and make sure the one that you encourage mask is after the one that it's required. It just reduces everybody's tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for us, we had a way. We haven't yet opened. So at the time of this recording, we're actually opening in a week, unless something crazy changes. Well, at the time of the release of this episode, rather. And we had one opinion on the mask. So what we were preparing for at our church was staff and volunteers, masks are required. Everyone else, masks are encouraged and recommended, and lots of signage in and around that. What we were then going to do is create mandatory mask wearing sections within the auditorium for those who are more vulnerable or who are wanting more of a safer experience. And our auditorium is pretty large, so there's enough airflow on that side. So that's what we were going to do. And then the other side was, but if you're singing, a mask is required. So technically someone could come in, wear a mask for singing, and then take it off during the preaching and then leave with it on. So that was kind of the idea. However, recently there's been cities, so no province in Canada has mandated, at least as far as I'm concerned, or as that I know, has mandated masks provincially, but cities have begun to pass these bylaws. Edmonton is in a process of doing that, and it may go right now. They've already mandated it for masks for public transit and city-owned buildings. And there's the thought that perhaps they might actually extend that. So for us, really, at the time of this recording, we were like, well, you know what? When our board met, we were like, hey, why don't we just, for the sake of, and we have a list of values that are really driving how we are making decisions in and around this. So one of our values is safety is greater than speed. So in light of that, that's why we haven't opened, whereas in other churches in our city that opened last month. We wanted to take it a little bit longer to make sure that we had personally enough safety precautions in place. So having said that, we actually made the decision to say, okay, you know, we're just going to mandate masks for all of our services for the sake of safety. So that's been a shift that we just recently made. But yeah, it really is more along those lines.
Yeah, I would say that what you're finding is states and provinces, because I actually know Quebec actually has a mandatory mask law for inside buildings. So, and partly because my daughter's looking at going up there for school. So,
oh yes. Okay.
You're seeing now states, the governor of Arkansas and other places begin to either recommend or require masks, and provinces as well. My guess is that will increase by the time it's so funny because we're recording this and we release it a couple weeks later. I mean, the whole world's different in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we can all be in a full, North American lockdown by the time every week is like a year in COVID time. So, what I would say is I'm not apologetic about saying people should wear masks. And I recognize there's some really, people on the internet, people on Twitter. I'm just looking at some guy literally right now. And it's interesting how they all seem to come from one theological camp. It says, one church has decided to disobey the mandate. And it's this person tweets that how disappointed he is to live in the age of Ed Stetzer and Andy Stanley and J.D. Greer, because, we've all kind of talked about this as well. And then he talks about, I'm not going to be masked, whatever. And it's like, I really, 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 this is what, and I really appreciate, all those people, sitting by yelling from the hot dog stand when they don't have to sit in the hot seat. I mean, these are hard decisions that churches are making. And I don't bemoan anybody who's trying to protect their people and may make a different decision than me, trying to protect their people, loves the Lord, wants to honor the scriptures. And I think those are the kinds of things that we really need and want to look for.
Yes, that's awesome. Great. So thanks again for listening into the New Church's Q&A podcast. We ask that you would just send in a question if you have a follow-up one to speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. All right, we'll catch you next time.